All right, here's a staggering statistic. Between 2000 and 2009, about $207 million was spent on state Supreme Court elections. That's compared to $83.3 million that was spent from 1990 to 1999. Again, 10-year period of time jumped from $83 million to $207 million. And that's partly because of TV ads like this one.
Remember the low sentence Hathaway gave a sex predator that targeted a minor? There's more.
That's part of a campaign ad coming out of Michigan. It's especially bad in Michigan, but it's bad nationwide. But polls also show that 3 out of 4 Americans think that campaign donations will affect decisions in the courtroom. And we're joined by one of the authors of a new report that deals with this issue, Adam Skaggs. He's an attorney with the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Also with us, Chris Kristoff, who wrote about what's shaping up to be yet another expensive Supreme Court race in Michigan. He writes for the Detroit Free Press. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Adam, first of all, I read through this report and was staggered by some of the conclusions that came out of there. Why have we seen such a gigantic leap in campaign contributions for state Supreme Court elections?
Well, I think what you've seen is over the course of the last decade, special interests on both sides of what we call the tort wars. So on one side, industry groups, business lobbies and so forth. On the other side, the trial lawyers and the unions have poured money into judicial elections because they're seeking to capture the bench. They want to influence state Supreme Courts just as they want to influence Congress, state legislatures, the state house and so forth.
And what are these issues? What are the specific issues that special interests are most interested in influencing?
Well, I think the biggest issues that we see are so-called tort issues. So medical malpractice awards, damages awards for product liability suits and this sort of thing. And in the states in which business groups have perceived so-called runaway litigation expenses, so where trial lawyers have won really high multi-million dollar damage awards against companies, that's where the business groups have been most active. So led primarily by groups associated with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and some other industry groups, these special interests have gone to states where they perceive the litigation environment as hostile to business, and they have poured money in. And on the other side, just to make sure I'm not presenting a one-sided picture, the trial lawyers and the unions have generally followed suit, or at least have tried to follow suit and keep up and have opened their own war chest.
Well, you know, it's not surprising that most Americans, 75% of them, think that campaign donations affect decisions in the courtroom. But almost half of state judges also think that campaign donations influence your court decision. And Sandra Day O'Connor, former Supreme Court Justice, wrote the intro to your report. I want to quote something that she said in that intro. She said, "This crisis of confidence in the judiciary is real and growing. Left unaddressed, the perception that justice is for sale will undermine the rule of law that the courts are supposed to uphold." Why is it so difficult to bring about reform in this area?
Well, you know, I think there are signs for optimism. You know, we really have reached a crisis point when 3 in 4 Americans believe campaign cash is influencing judges' decision-making on the bench. And as you mentioned, almost half of judges themselves come to the same conclusion. Thankfully, there are a number of states that have come up with ways to approach the problem of campaign cash in the courtroom. States like Wisconsin and West Virginia have recently adopted systems of public financing. They followed the lead of North Carolina, which launched a public financing program for judges earlier in this decade. And that's important because it gets judges out of the business of dialing for dollars. They can talk to actual voters on the campaign trail. And most importantly, they can concentrate on applying the law and the facts of individual cases to the controversies that come before them. Other states are looking at strengthening disclosure rules so that the public and litigants, the parties to lawsuits, know exactly who it is that's paying for these expensive runaway campaigns that judges are running. And finally, states are looking into strengthening, ratcheting up their disqualification rules. So making sure that if in any event somebody who has paid to elect a judge, has paid to put that judge on the bench, ends up in court, that judge will step aside and a wholly impartial judge will come and hear that case. So those are really important reforms. There are
right.
obviously...
Well, this, let me move to Chris real quick, because these are actually some of the reforms that are being discussed in Michigan. Michigan ranked third on money spent for TV ads for a state Supreme Court elections, and this race in particular, people say, is going to be extremely expensive. What is the situation in Michigan that makes this particular issue so stark?
Well, I think what's driving a lot of the intent, a lot of the cost, and the importance of this race, as was in 2008, is reapportionment, the redistricting of congressional and legislative district lines, which happens every 10 years after the census. Traditionally, the redrawing of those lines in the legislature that involves the governor and the House and Senate ends up in the Supreme Court. They never agree on it because both parties try to draw the lines to their benefit, and it ends up in the Supreme Court. Well, the feeling is if you have a Republican-dominated court, it would help Republicans. If you have a Democratic-dominated court, it helps the Democrats. Now, in Michigan, they have a charade of nominating Supreme Court justices at the two-party conventions and then putting them on the nonpartisan part of the ballot. So it's sort of a wink-wink election process where, in fact, you have Republican and Democratic justices, but I can claim that they're nonpartisan. But the redistricting, the reapportionment is a big factor in why these races are so important. It was in 2008 and this year.
That's Chris Kristoff, a politics writer for the Detroit Free Press. We're also speaking with Adam Skaggs, an attorney for the Brennan Center for Justice at the NIU School for Law. They just issued a report about this. Chris, last question for you. The people of Michigan, though, even those who claim to be very partisan or extremely Republican, extremely Democratic, they don't like the idea that their judges would also be very politicized. Is that correct?
Well, I assume that's true. And, you know, everything holds for Michigan.
That holds nationally.
What Adam was talking about in terms of influence of the sort of the tort interest here. You have the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, who Adam's study found was the fifth highest spender of all single interest groups in the country. You've had the trial lawyers involved, and the Michigan Democratic Party in particular has been involved, and they pour money into these races, and Michigan disclosure laws are such that we don't know who's putting the money into the Democratic Party fund or into the Michigan Chamber of Commerce fund. So the disclosure laws here are backward.
And Michigan is also considering more public funding of state Supreme Court elections as well to try to address the problem. That's Chris Kristoff of the Detroit Free Press, Adam Skaggs, an attorney with the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law. Thanks to both of you.